going forward, unfortunately, from Subaru, the STI is dead.
Man, that's so crazy.
Like, why? They're everywhere. It seems like they're selling crazy amounts. So I actually do have a statement from Subaru of basically why this is. So I'll just read it real quick. So Subaru says, as part... Oh, messed it up from the start. As the automotive marketplace continues to move towards electrification... I don't like where this is going. Subaru is focused on how our future sports and performance cars should evolve to meet the needs of changing marketplace and regulations and requirements from greenhouse gases, zero emissions vehicles, and corporate average fuel economy. As part of that effort, Subaru Corp is exploring opportunities for the next generation Subaru WRX STI, including electrification.
Ooh.
In the meantime, next generation internal combustion engine WRX STI will not be produced based on the new WRX platform. Which,
that was an interesting way to phrase that.
Is a benefit and a loss. Right. Welcome back to the Third Pedal Podcast.
How's it going, everybody?
Yeah, what's up?
Very nice to talk to you. We have some funny stuff that we want to cover this week.
Oh, yeah.
I thought of a new segment idea.
What is it?
So we, for those who have been listening for a while, we tend to be a little bit negative bias towards BMW.
No.
So as mom raised us better than that, though, we do not, if we don't have something, what did she used to say? If we said something mean, she's like, now you have to say seven nice things.
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of thing. So
totally forgot about
our new rule for the podcast. If we're going to rip into BMW, we got to say something nice about it, too.
That's fair.
So a new segment idea. Maybe I'll make a logo. Maybe I won't. We'll see. Called Good Beamer, Bad Beamer. So
okay. I saw that on the notes. I thought it was like an article or whatever.
No.
That's hilarious.
So that's the thing. So I want to say a very funny. It was a headline. I didn't look too much into it, but we'll dive in a second. A BMW headline that just, of course. And then an actual pretty cool BMW news thing that we learned
cool.
this last All week. Right. So, okay.
So we still get to rip on him.
Still get to rip on him.
But we got to say something nice.
Got to say something nice. Yeah. Okay. Got to build him back up a little bit. Can't be all rude. Because the buildup is actually pretty freaking cool. Something I haven't seen. It's something that I don't think any other German car manufacturer would be confident enough to do. So it's very interesting. It's actually a very cool moment for me.
Wow.
So
let's
get into it. So first one, it's a Jalopnik article.
Okay.
Let me just read you the headline, then we'll get into it. BMWs are bursting into flames so they don't have to be cop cars. So apparently they've had to basically curb all of their BMW police cars.
Okay.
Because they're having, and I'm assuming it's related to the whole O-ring on the injector issue.
Yeah.
Where they're just catching on fire. So they're not reliable anymore.
Wow.
So they've had to curb, I think all of them. It's with the, it's the diesel engine. I didn't realize it was the diesel
one.
Okay. It was,
yeah. Because they don't use
the
M57. Here.
No, unfortunately. That would be cool. But
I don't think
but
it
anyway.
Would be cool.
I think it would be cool. I mean, they have the whatever, it's 328D.
You shouldn't run from the cops, regardless. I'm just saying. They have like souped up Beamers.
But anyways,
catch on fire.
So they've had to get rid of their 3 Series, 5 Series, and their X5 SUVs.
Oh, wow. So it's like
it affects
all of them.
A lot. And I don't know. I don't think they added how many.
Just add of like stuff catching on fire.
Yeah,
like totally unrelated, but it just works. That's
so
funny.
They're saying. Here we go. In one particularly depressing switch, the police in this place in the middle of England have replaced their 3-liter BMWs with Peugeots equipped with a 1.2-liter turbocharged engine. So that's
what a downgrade.
Sad,
is that
right?
What it says?
Yeah, what a downgrade. So anyway,
that
I thought
sucks.
That was super funny. So apparently that title just I thought was really funny. But
that is so funny.
Apparently there's some issue happening now.
What,
they're
so
trying
what
to
is
figure
the title
out.
Again? So they don't have to be cops.
Yeah, so they don't have to be cop cars.
That's so funny.
Because which I think like this look of cop cars is my favorite ever.
Yeah.
It looks so cool with
yeah.
the yellow and the blue checkered and the blue lights and everything and the little, like the Jason Bourne. Like,
yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, that's all it reminds me of.
Yeah, that's all I can think of. Yeah. Way better impression than mine. but yeah, so apparently, here we go. Whatever the reason for the combustions, it seems a worrying number of BMW police cars have begun igniting on forces in the UK, specifically cars operated by... that aging diesel engine have started spewing fire after being used in high
diesel.
Speed pursuits.
Wow.
So could you imagine this guy's like, it's just like what it's like the Need for Speed thing. It's like heat five. And then like the BMW is coming and then there's like,
yeah, they're just burning up.
But anyway, so bad Beamer.
What if it's like one of the engineers at BMW's testing out a new model, running away from the cops, and he's just like, oh no, they're gonna get me. Activate burning BMW, they're burning off. It's like, yes,
oh my god,
it's like some conspiracy high.
That'll be that's BMW's version of Dieselgate.
Yeah, right. Oops. That's their Dieselgate. It was the diesels.
The Volkswagen German, and these ours doesn't explode. I don't know what the heck accent
that
was.
German too.
Right?
The same accent.
America's just over here like,
like our V8s don't do that.
Put an V8 in it.
Yeah. So anyway, Brad right. Beamer. So let's build them back up a little bit. Good Beamer. I think you saw this announcement too. Mm-hmm. BMW has officially brought Alpina Performance on. So they purchased it. They purchased the brand and they're going to be co-oping. So it's always been, this caused me to look it up a little bit because it is a weird relationship. Because like apparently Alpina started, let me see, I looked it up in here. They started in the 60s building a dual carb for the BMW 1500. And then they were just a BMW tuning company. So they were essentially like, I mean, they were like an iRoz Motorsport, honestly. They were like that type of a thing where they were just trying to get
parts.
Yeah. And so they would have like the BMW 2000 Alpina. And it was just something they would enter into like races and stuff like that. So they were a performance company. And then somewhere along the way, as they were maximizing the power, they started like adding things to the interior, adding things to the styling, things like that. And they formed this weird relationship with BMW where they're not like a manufacturer, but BMW allows them to create and license and sell a modified version of their vehicle.
Yep.
So what I think is really cool is, so this is like a grassroots thing. This is just like it's honestly like, I don't know how to say it, the Ralph Welt, like wide body thing for Porsche.
Yep.
It's something like that, but I think it's so cool that the OEM purchased it, so that they purchased it now and acquired it. I think it sounds like it's still going to be run.
What must have been so popular, and I didn't thing. I saw the title, I started researching it. I didn't actually know that it was a completely separate company.
Yeah,
like I thought it was just another lane of BMW,
Like
they do
like a trim level.
You know, this edition and other cars do that too. I just thought it was that, but I didn't know it was like some
like
separate
thing.
And now it is just a thing.
So I think it's really cool because, and this is where my statement came earlier. I don't see like Porsche seems to put themselves like above that. Like they wouldn't acquire Ralph. Well, they've done all their own engineering.
Well, because
they do
their GT3, GT3 RS, GT2 RS. They do their high trims.
Right. Yeah. But how cool is this for BMW to recognize and now actually put their money where their mouth is and fund the thing to say, hey, people appreciate these Alpina builds.
Right.
Let's just acquire it. Let's help them out. Because apparently, forget what one of these last, I think 2020 in the pandemic year was the biggest year for Alpina yet.
Really?
They grew the most in that year. And so I think they delivered the most cars they had or something like that.
That's interesting.
So I'm glad they're experiencing a lot of growth that way, which is cool. Because I guess right now I think they do a five series, a seven series, and then the X5. I think they have Alpina.
They're just clean too.
They're really nice.
So the statement I got out of the stuff that I found is that they're like niche, like why they've become valuable is because they tune the maybe more base model cars. They're not taking an M car and making an Alpina.
Right.
They're taking a regular 540i or whatever the model is now, and making an Alpina edition where it's got performance and horsepower close to an M car.
Exactly.
They're making it basically an M car, not quite as much, but then also increasing the luxury part of it as well. So it's more comfortable, more luxurious, but then higher performance and everything as well, which is a really cool mix. Like normally you get a tuning company, say like for Audi, Volkswagen, it's like APR is a really big one.
Right.
They're focused strictly on horsepower.
Right.
You don't have like the APR edition, like super high quality Italian leather stitched seating or like electronics or like other stuff like that. I know they do some stuff, but it's all performance based. They'll do like different steering wheels, for example, but it's like a carbon fiber performance based one with like the RPM gauge on it or something like that.
Right. There's not an interior trim package for whatever, like for the APR tune. It's not like, oh sweet, I know it's going to come with better the brown leather seats now and all this other, like it's not that, but they completely transform these cars. It'd be interesting to see how many pieces they actually touch, like if there is like a quantity of
cool
if it's an Alpina, it gets whatever it is 2600 extra parts that we manufacture that go on the car or something. But anyway, thought that was really interesting and like huge
really
props
cool.
to BMW. As much as whatever, I haven't had great experience with my janky used cars.
We
not
have
a nice
limited
one.
Experience. To be fair, this is a good Beamer, bad Beamer, or on good Beamer side. We haven't had a lot of experience. Bad Beamer. The experience we've had has been horrible.
Right.
Actually, not myself. I've had I've had good and bad. I've had good and bad.
Yeah,
whatever 325i. Convertible, the thing is perfect, but it was 100,000 miles for a 95.
I mean, they're great cars, but just from our personal experience, whatever, I can't dog them too much. It's not like I've driven all these brand new M3s and been like, it's still not refined. Like, I'm sure I would love that, but anyway,
is there anything as far as like what's around still today from older cars?
Yeah,
there's not a lot of, there are, but in the lane of like really awesome looking, cool, old, like 90s cars.
Yeah.
E36 M3 is definitely up there. Same with the E30 M3, but the E36 has just got that 90s style and shape. And
the E46 too. Those three generations of 3 Series have been like the most, I'd probably say the most iconic series of car over that many generations. Cause like even like the 240s and stuff, like a 240 from the 90s, there's like there's a year span. That's like the one that everybody recognizes as like as the car or whatever. Same with Audis, like B5s and then B6. I don't really like the A4 and stuff. They haven't like held over time the way that the BMW championed it from the 80s all the way through rally stuff to like touring cars and all this other all the way through the E46 and then even the next generations after that when they changed their naming structure that I don't get anymore. But anyway, so good Beamer, bad Beamer.
Cool.
We'll probably bring that back.
That's a good section.
So yeah, tear them down a little bit, build them back up, kind of leave them level. So that's
speaking of
Beamer thing.
New cars, acquisition, changes in new cars. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are wondering, are manuals dead? One of this myself, looking for new cars. Yep. My Audi, for example, doesn't come in a manual or as they call it, across the pond, standard transmission, which I love that name. Standard transmission. It's so cool. It's a standard thing.
Yeah.
But
and as the third pedal podcast, this is relatively important.
Right.
To us.
So we got
to
talk about manuals. It's like in the name. So I've got for you guys a complete list, every car you can still buy in 2022 that comes in a manual transmission. So
interesting. Okay.
It's a kind of long article. They talk about each car, but is this one of those I got to scroll all the way? Okay.
You got to click a bunch.
There we go. There we go. No.
No, it's one by one.
Okay, bear with me. Get all the way to the end. They had a full list. I could just read them off.
Nice.
All right. Okay, sorry. I'll click through them. Just talking about BMW, the 2022 M3 and M4 can get a manual. The Chevy Spark.
Ooh.
Interesting. The Cadillac CT4V Blackwing. Have you looked into this thing?
Ooh.
This thing is so cool.
I've not looked into it at all.
It's a V8 six-speed manual. Sedan
is
new sedan that Cadillac's making. It is sick.
Did this take over from the it wasn't the Caprice, but like that SS, the one that was like a police car?
Probably. Maybe it's a similar platform. They've always had like CTSV, like a CTSV is a pretty popular, you know, V8, like kind of like a sedan Camaro sort of thing. That's how I look at it.
A guy with a, I'm not sure what it was. So sorry, dude, if you're listening, but the Cadillac stitched our cold start video and his sounded awesome, dude.
Oh,
it had that choppy. We'll cut it in right here. Oh, it sounded so good.
The chop. You can't get over the chop. I love, you know, the small four-cylinder turbos and stuff like that. Like, those things are really cool to me.
Different,
the
though.
Chop, though.
Oh, yeah.
VA chop. All right.
The way that it makes you feel like in your chest.
Right. So Cadillac, CT4V and CT5V Blackwing. I feel like that's cheating to add two. Kind of the same because they did M3 and M4. Whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll forgive it. The Chevy Camaro.
Good.
Dodge Challenger.
Thank
you. God
bless
coming.
America.
Ford Bronco. Ooh. I found out. I didn't know that came in a manual.
That's cool. That's very Jeepy of them to do.
Totally.
Love it.
Ford Mustang.
Of course.
Honda Civic still comes in a manual. And
that looks great.
They look awesome.
That looks really good.
The new, I hate to say it, not hate to say it, but like, I don't know. It's like, if you're a German car guy, you kind of make fun of the Honda Civics and stuff like that a little bit. But
because you used to be able to. And then now this thing.
Well, now they look sick. Now it's like, oh, dude, look at that. What kind of Audi is that? And it's a Civic.
And it's a Jetta now. You cover
if
you cover the logo in the middle.
Everybody's sharing styles and everything. So Honda Civic still in a manual. The Hyundai Elantra.
Okay.
Side note, have you seen the, what are they called? The N, I think, is their performance brand of these.
Mm-mm.
The Elantra and the Veloster are sick.
Really?
They come with like pop bang tune, like a valved exhaust that sounds sweet. They come in a manual.
From the factory it comes with that?
Yep. So it comes from the factory with a sweet exhaust, sweet styling. They got a little spoiler.
Okay.
Tons of like sweet features. Like, it's one of those things. We did guess the car a couple episodes back where we talked about the Chevy Cruze and looked at the interior and it's like super high quality.
Yeah.
You're doing the same with these things.
Weird.
And they're sweet, like the super sharp styling.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
So the Veloster N and the Elantra N,
okay,
I believe it's called. And they're awesome. So that comes in a manual. You can still get, has a sick exhaust, four cylinder turbo. It's front wheel drive, of course, but it's like a cool little alternative to a Civic or whatever, or GTI, or whatever.
That's very interesting.
So, Veloster N.
There you go.
Like I said,
that
one
really
too.
Good.
Jeep Gladiator.
Sweet.
Comes in a manual.
New
Jeep
one.
Wrangler, of course.
Okay.
Kia Forte.
Ooh.
Forte GT,
dude,
it looks
these
like.
These new Kias are actually kind of sweet.
Kia's really stepping up their game.
Other than, we talked about it a few episodes ago, I guess they burst into flames in garages and
that's
stuff.
That's right.
That was
older models.
That's true.
Older models. The new ones, I don't think they have that issue with.
Cool branding.
The Mazda
though.
3. Dude, another hot hatchback, I would say, the 2022
Mazda
3.
This is the Mazda 3?
They're so sharp. They look really, really cool. They did a great job styling.
Interesting
on those.
That they kept though the brand thing. Like they didn't make it too pointy. It is kind of bubbly still in the back. Just like look, I thought it was a whatever they are, CX-5 or whatever their SUV was.
They all kind of look the same.
Yeah.
But the Mazda 3 still comes manual. Really cool car. MX-5 Miata.
Interesting.
The Mini Cooper, hardtop and convertible. The Mini Cooper Clubman, which is like their
that's the one that has the
SUV.
Doors, right?
Yeah. A double door sort of thing. Mitsubishi Mirage. Didn't know that was still a thing.
I didn't know Mitsubishi was still around.
I didn't either. I thought they died.
How many times can they go out?
weren't they down for a while?
Well, because then they were like, we're going to bring the... What car? The Lancer. They're like, we're going to bring the Lancer back. And then it was that crossover.
Right.
You see that? And they were like...
No, that was the Eclipse they brought back as a crossover. Oh, that was way back.
You're right.
They've been making the Lancer up until... Someone correct us. I don't know. I feel like 2015, 2016 maybe. They still made them?
Was it that late? I think it was earlier than that.
Was it earlier?
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Weird. I didn't know they were still around.
So yeah, they still make that. The Nissan Versa, for some reason. You can still get in the manual.
That's cool.
Of course, the Nissan Z, 400Z, right? It's called?
Yep.
So I saw a clip of Forsberg, I think.
Okay.
Has one of these.
Really?
That he's like tuning, getting ready for drifting already. And so I didn't know they were selling already. So I was like commenting, I'm like, hey, where can, I didn't know you could buy these yet.
Right.
And everybody commented back at me like, you can't. Oh, this guy's just cooler than you. Like he gets to have one, you know, because he's partnered with Nissan.
Man.
So he gets to have one of those. But I can't wait for those to come out. Really, really want to drive one, especially owning a Datsun in the past.
Yeah. Did I tell you my story about those at SEMA?
Uh-uh.
I was at SEMA this last year and I was there to set up our booth and stuff for the company I work at. And then I got to spend a day walking the show, kind of seeing what all these other brands are bringing. So I had a few cars that I really wanted to see, one of these in person.
Yeah.
Dude. They're so cool. They're like just the right size. They didn't make it like too bulby or too big or anything.
So similar to like a 350, 370 kind of size?
Yeah, exactly. Nice. Same size. So we're like walking around and I see it sitting there and it's in the yellow that they debuted it at.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, sick. And I went over. I have pictures. I'll put the pictures in here.
Yeah.
So that's sitting there and I'm like, man, this thing's gorgeous. And then look to the right and in the booth, they've got an old 240 too, a fully restored Datsun 240 sitting there. And so they're both sitting next to each other. And I'm like, oh, so cool. And I took a picture for you. I'm like, oh, he's going to love to see this thing. And then I just like I took a picture of it. And I was like, there's a lot of people over here.
Yeah.
Like, why is there so many? Like, there was a line, but I couldn't figure out where it was going. And then I saw there was like a group of like four people like sitting pretzel legged, like crisscross applesauce style, just sitting like next to the card by the front wheel, just sitting and talking.
Just chilling.
And hanging out. Just hanging out. Yeah. Literally just talking. It wasn't like weird, regulated anything. Just talking. And I'm sitting there looking and all of a sudden I like walk around and there's a guy like with his back towards me and then a couple others. And I walk to the side and I'm like, that's Han from Fast and Furious. And
he's just
there
chilling.
Talking. Yeah.
It's probably his 240, huh?
It is. It's the one that he built. But he's just like sitting there just hanging out. And it was.
That's awesome.
It was the only word I can think of. It was really adorable because there was like just a bunch of us's in line. And then you'd like get over there and then sit down next to him and just like talk to him and stuff. And he was just hanging out, talking, signing stuff. But it wasn't celebrity. It was
He wasn't at his booth like charging for signatures or whatever.
Like people were as excited to see his car and he was excited to show off his car, not show off, hey, it's me and I'm from Fast and Furious. They weren't playing that up. It was just look at my 240.
That's
look at their new form. It was so cool.
That's awesome.
I'll put some pictures in. It was just nuts.
I love
seeing
like
it's like it's the guy.
Like guys from because we all know Fast and Furious has gone way off the rails with like like planes and jets and like flying cars.
Was it
and
space
like,
in the last one too?
Yeah. What is happening? Yeah. Apparently there's another one. Fast 10 is coming out next spring, I think, 2023.
Oh my gosh.
They're just keeping it going. I saw, as I was like looking up stuff, I saw a trailer. It was a trailer for Fast 9. And I like watched the whole trailer, was looking up the movie to talk about it. And I'm like, this came out last year. It's like way old news. But it was like, they're like, our family needs a jet. They're like flying through space and stuff. I'm like, what is happening?
They should come out with one like when they're all really old and it's just called Slow and Gruffy.
They're racing their wheelchairs, but then the wheelchairs are like and get wings and they're just like and they're still beating people up.
Yeah.
So anyways, I love it when when I guess we could call them like car celebrities.
Yeah.
Right? Those people.
Yeah,
Han especially.
Yep.
Those guys are just like they're just like us.
Right.
They're just
super into cars.
They're just cool car guys who have made it as a cool car guy to the highest possible level.
Right.
Like as high as you think of like Ken Block working with Audi now.
Right.
Like in partnership there. Or I think it was Forsberg. If I'm saying the wrong guy, there's a drift guy. I think it's Chris Forsberg.
I don't know.
I think
he's
the guy who had the 400Z.
Gotcha.
Making it as a car guy at that high level. But they're just like us. It's like sitting down by his 240.
Right.
Not like the one the set brought for him that they built for the
That's
movie.
That's what I love so
like
much.
His car.
Right. That he, and he, I know there was like a whole video series about him building that thing. Yeah. Like how much passion he put into it, what he wanted it to feel like. And just so cool. Like that, you're totally right. It's that, that like he could literally, he could show up in whatever car he wanted to and have whatever booth he wanted to and everything. But he chose to like partner with the OEM, bring his car, let that be the little thing to show that Nissan cared enough about the old 240 to bring out the 400.
Like it's like an enthusiast made remake. And of remakes of cars, this is one of the best.
100%
agreed. I would say coming 100%. Up. Because the Supra is awesome. Yep. Don't get me wrong.
Yep.
But it has been a little bit of a disappointment. Right. Initially, people didn't like it was made with BMW. Right. And like this one's like Nissan through and through.
Right.
It's a Z car. It is a Z car through and through. So
can
love
you get
that.
The Supra and stick shift?
Nope.
Wow.
I know.
That's
a bummer.
I mean, it's faster, but like still.
Yeah.
That's just, you lose. That's what's really cool about this. Like looking at this now really makes me want Porsche to bring back like a 968 or a 944.
Right. Wouldn't that be sweet?
So cool. Yeah. I don't think it's their market.
They got other stuff going on. Yeah. But Nissan is, this is still like a low enough price point. Yeah. Like for Porsche to bring back a 944, for example, it would have to be so expensive because of all the R&D and like all that other stuff that comes into it.
To get that name, which nobody would pay more than a
you want a 911
like a Cayman for it'd have to be 911 like
or a Cayman or whatever is like that's like the thing it'd have to be somewhere in like a 40-50 price point to make sense
and instead they did the 718 they wanted the smaller convertible because that's what sells. If somebody wants the Porsche name for something like that, they don't really want
you don't want the rear engine, you want the boxer engine, you don't want a regular so I'm assuming they would bring it back as if they were making it like this, like a straight four.
That's what our theory was, remember, as we talked about this, and it would have the S3 platform in it, so it'd have that engine platform in it because it's already a four-cylinder turbo, and then they would go that way. But
wouldn't that be so cool?
Oh, it'd be so neat.
All right, really cool. On to the next one.
Yeah, sorry.
Speaking of Porsche, 718.
Okay.
Or 718, sorry, Porsche guys. That still comes in a manual, and the Cayman still comes in a manual, so that's awesome. The 911, I think across all types of it, which that's another car that's like has so many different models of the 911.
Yeah. That is probably, I guess I said that before, if the E30 was probably the one that has lasted the generations, but I guess it's
911 for sure is the most iconic, longest lasting. Yeah. You can look at a, 70s is probably the first couple? 60s. But like a 60s to a 2022, you can tell it's the same car.
Right.
You can't do that with most cars.
Right.
Most cars haven't lasted that long. But like to take one from then, that has probably every single year without fail come out. I don't know if they come out with a new model
always,
every time, but
always circle lights, always rear engine, always scooped front, always the humps coming up for the lights. Like there's a lot of those things that have stayed similar over all the years,
which is just awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So BRZ, you can still get in a manual. I kind of like the remake.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some people didn't like them.
I'm so on the fence with it. I loved all the wide body ones, whatever you say about wide body and slammed cars and all that other stuff.
It just looks cool.
Oh, man, dude, the Liberty Walk kit on the like the older generation one.
Yep.
I'm sure.
I follow
there is
a
dude who's building the wide body one of the new ones.
I was just
going
to say, I follow a guy. I think it's on TikTok, and he posts it every once in a while. He's building it. It just looks
that
nuts.
That one looks,
it looks nuts.
Yeah.
So, Subaru Outback, you can also get.
The Crosstrek, you mean? I didn't know you could get the Crosstrek and a stick shift.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. Dude. Crosstrek, you can still get a six.
Don't have to mess with the stupid
trade
CVT.
Let's go. Impreza, of course.
Okay.
You can still get the WRX and WRX STI. You can still get the BRZ with a Toyota badge on it, the GR86, the Toyota Corolla, you can still get the Toyota Tacoma.
Sweet.
Of course, the Golf GTI, Golf R.
I didn't know they were going to do that for the R. That's cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Golf R. Cool. Yeah, they've always made them. Well, besides the R32, when they switched, like one was only manual, one was only auto, at least here. The Volkswagen Jetta.
Okay.
And lastly, the.
Hey, the list that we were looking for.
Oh, great. I just scrolled through them all for no reason. But, anyways, that's the full list. So, yeah, there's still. All to say, there's still
hope.
Really there's still a lot of standard transmission cars coming out. I'm really excited for the Nissan Z. I would love to get my hands on one of those and be able to modify it, drive it. It just seems like such a fun car.
Yeah, let's pick what would... So if you could pick, let's say, your top three to go test drive and feel out, what would it be?
Nissan Z.
So let's take the 911 away.
Oh,
let's take any of like the super-y, like different kind of cars that you could drive.
Oh, sure.
I would want to try the Bronco. Because I'm curious, just because I haven't driven a new truck that's stick shift before.
Yeah.
So I think that one would be interesting. Yep. There's my one. What's yours?
Nissan Z.
Okay.
For sure.
Nissan Z. Okay. So then my second choice, I'd love to try the new WRX. I think that would be interesting just to compare to what I drive now every day. What about you?
Yeah. Golf R would be cool. I kind of have that, but not in a manual.
Yeah.
That would be interesting to feel like my like ecosystem of driving my car. I'm so used to it, how that would feel, how the power delivery is in the manual. That'd be really cool.
That would be interesting. All right, my last pick. I mean, let's give BMW a shot. I'd love to drive the new M3.
Dude, M3, M4.
Yeah.
Feel that in manual. I'm going to choose the Mitsubishi Mirage just because I didn't know it existed still.
Interesting.
That's
going
to be fun.
That would be
go
fun.
Go take one of those little guys out. I imagine like,
that. It gives me the same. Yes. You know, like, it gives me the same as that weird, the C88 or whatever Porsche that we looked at. Yes. Like, it gives me the same. Yeah. Like, it's probably not, it's definitely not fast, but it would be like an interesting experience.
Like, this is such a funny title. Right. 2022 Mitsubishi Mirage. Like, just.
It's like, eh,
to see that
2003 called it wants its car back. Right.
Still make it.
Oh, that's funny, dude. That's so really cool. That's interesting. Okay. So we got
one of those things on that list that unfortunately isn't going to be around longer. So they mentioned the WRX and the STI still come in manual for 2022.
Yeah.
But going forward, unfortunately, from Subaru, the STI is dead.
Man, that's so suck. Crazy.
Like, why? They're That's everywhere. Nuts. It seems That's like they're nuts. Selling crazy amounts. So I actually do have a statement from Subaru of basically why this is. So I'll just read it real quick. So Subaru says, as part... Oh, messed it up from the start. As the automotive marketplace continues to move towards electrification...
Oh.
I don't like where this is going. Subaru is focused on how our future sports and performance cars should evolve to meet the needs of changing marketplace and regulations and requirements from greenhouse gases, zero emissions vehicles, and corporate average fuel economy. The CAFE. Just
there
too cool of a name for something that sucks.
Really?
So that's what you were talking about last episode with the corporate average fuel economy. As part of that effort, Subaru Corp is exploring opportunities for the next generation Subaru WRX STI, including electrification.
Ooh.
In the meantime, next generation internal combustion engine WRX STI will not be produced based on the new WRX platform, which
that was an interesting way to phrase that.
Is a benefit and a loss.
Right.
Right. Right. Because the new WRX platform, I don't like.
Yeah.
It looks weird.
Right.
It might as well be a Civic.
Right.
That's what it looks like.
Right.
It looks like a Civic or whatever.
You're
so
totally right.
I guess it's not the worst.
Front
thing.
End looks kind of cool, but then the rear end just looks like a Civic.
It's 100%. Like moving more towards crossover, which is like really scary to see any like cool performance sedan that's like moving more towards that, like keep it the way it is. But they have, I mean, they're running this huge business.
Right.
There's got to be some big reason behind it. I'm assuming it's more to do with the emission stuff. In one way, I appreciate it, right? Because they're not going to dumb down the STI to make it fit today's standards.
Right.
They're saying like, basically with this, this is like the corporate way of saying, hey, we can't make it how we want to make it. We're not going to make it at all.
Right.
So
it's the same reason like the Viper would go out of production is to say like, oh, you're going to require us to have like traction control and stuff. Then we just can't make it because
we're not
going to
do it.
Because it is, I think it is cool too that like, they're being bold enough to say that like we're not going to just limp along and keep making this and try to make something else. They're saying, hey, we love the STI and we love everything that stands for. We're going to force ourselves to stop and not let us recreate it until we figure out a new way to power it and like challenge. Because I bet the STI ERA is factoring into this now of that the car, the one that we went over.
So this last part of this, they mentioned that. Not that car in particular, but they said the Subaru WRX STI and the STI brand represent the zenith of Subaru's performance vehicles, exemplifying Subaru's unique DNA and rally heritage.
Good.
As we look to the future, we also look forward to incorporating the essence of STI into our next generation of vehicles. So
interesting.
Basically like hinting forward, kind of like we talked about 3-4 episodes ago about that one, STI.
ERA.
ERA, the electric.
So many letters.
Electric car that
the record
gonna be
attempt
crazy,
one.
Yeah, we're going to be doing crazy time. So they're basically still saying like, hey, we're going to keep the essence of the STI, which I love they use the word zenith, of Subaru's performance vehicles, the DNA, the rally heritage, all of that stuff still going to be around. But unfortunately, next gen, no STI.
Man, that's really disappointing.
Yeah.
I really hope what that means in between the lines. I'm worried about how they said it because I hope that they don't do what M badging and S badging has become where it's here's the STI package and now my Forester comes with a hood scoop and still a CVT.
Right.
Like I don't want that.
Yes.
Don't do that to me, please. Yeah. Subaru,
Where it's a cosmetic package and exhausts essentially.
Right. So now you get carbon fiber trim and you get all that, whatever.
Right.
It'd be a cool opportunity maybe for them to release a tuned WRX that's not a full STI, but it has the STI trim.
Right.
Or maybe
where they're like, you run with it.
Right.
Like you do the performance tuning that we're not allowed to release from the factory.
Exactly.
Kind of thing.
But now it's got carbon fiber and stuff like that. Maybe.
Right.
Maybe that could be cool. Bigger brakes, things like maybe they don't focus on power. They just focus on supporting mods
and
stuff
it's cool
like that,
as all, like I love every, I think I can say this, every Subaru model I think looks cool. They have like a cool looking
except
version.
Except for the one with the airplane on the front.
Airplane on
the
front.
Keep talking. I'll look it up.
Okay. I mean, I'm talking new models.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Cool.
Yeah, forget this.
I'm talking like every new one. Their new lineup, they all look sweet. Yep. So if they do go that way and they go, all right, now SDI is not going to be a version of a WRX. It's going to be the maximum performance trim level for every single one.
Yeah.
Dude, the Forester STI, didn't they make that?
Yeah, over in Europe they make it.
I thought they made them here. Older ones, though, they made here.
Yeah, older ones, yes.
Yeah, that thing was sweet. It was like a shorter SUV still had with the hood scoop and the turbo.
It had the STI engine in it, but it was just an SUV.
So if they did... Well, Of course, it wouldn't be necessarily the drivetrain and stuff, but they're still making the SUVs in manual.
Right.
So if they make an Outback STI, a Forester STI, do they still make a Legacy?
Yep.
A Legacy STI?
That would be sweet.
Like, that would be cool.
Honestly, yeah, I didn't think about that. That would be like an S6, essentially, like a Legacy STI. If it was that,
it would be
bigger
like Audi doing an A, S, and an RS on every single model.
Okay.
They don't do all of them here, but think of even their SUVs. They have the RSQ3, RSQ5, RSQ7, RSQ8.
Yeah,
like they
interesting.
Have all of those super high performance of basically every one of their models.
Yeah, okay.
If Subaru did that, that'd be cool. Kind of cool.
That'd be a cool way to use the platform already. Yeah. Just put the 2.5 and everything.
Then
in
you go your 1, 2, and 3 level.
Yep.
You go your Impreza.
Yep.
Your WRX and then your WRX SDI trim.
Right.
It could be kind of cool.
That would be interesting. I don't know.
Okay. Interesting to see how that happens.
That's an interesting forecast. Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see. Unfortunately. I guess that's the end of STI for now, but it does sound, I mean, it's interesting to see them. They released their first electric car. They do this record attempt car and now announce that the STI is no longer, but they currently have like Travis Pastrana and all these guys doing like WRX rallycross stuff. So like clearly they're still in that world. They're not saying, oh, we're eco-friendly. We're only going to do this one thing. That's a huge part of their audience is all the like foresty outdoors kind of people.
Right.
But, that's interesting. I'm interested to see where that's
going
to go.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes. I'm excited to see in the next couple of years. Yeah. Where that comes out. Hopefully hopefully Subaru, if you're listening, you can have that idea for free. I just want to see the cars.
Right.
So
can drive them, if we can just drive one, just like test something
free
out.
With an asterisk. Yeah. You could, I don't need a percentage of the cars or anything. No. That's okay.
Nothing.
Not that I'd get on for that anyways.
Right.
But, just love to drive them.
Right.
All of them.
Right.
Be sweet. So
make a video free of charge for you. But anywho, that's what we got for this week.
There we go.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for watching.
Peace.